This is London calling.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
Ah, there you are, and thank you so much for downloading and playing this and listening to this. We very much appreciate it. That would be me, myself, and I. Also, if you listened to our podcast from a couple of weeks ago where we interviewed Tony Walker when he kindly lent his time to raise money for the London Taxi Drivers Fund for Children, Russell Square, we got an interview with him 2 days after he'd appeared on national television and ITV in 63 Up, but of course he started out doing 7 Up, and so we caught up with him, cab driver to cab driver. And today, the most downloaded podcast episode of the Mick the Brit Podcast. But first, we go over to Mr. Jim Thomas. Yes, he's found a new home for his headlines. And we're going to go over to him right now with the latest news for the London taxi trade.
This week's news headlines from Taxi League's news desk. Sadiq Khan's cycling commissioner, Will Norman, has been told by the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea, on your bike. At a meeting held in the Royal Borough to discuss plans for the new £42 million cycle lane between Notting Hill Gate and Wood Lane, local councillors took to the stage to voice their opposition to the scheme, which now looks to be completely dead in the water. More good news, as City Mapper have scrapped plans for their on-demand bus and rideshare service. The company announced it's shutting down its hybrid bus and minicab service, previously known as Smart Bus and Smart Ride. On Tuesday, 60 kind-hearted cabbies took 200 veterans for a day out to Worthing. World War II veteran Bill Gladden said, "I've been going on these outings with the taxi charity for many years now, but the recent trip to Normandy for the D-Day commemorations was particularly poignant. As I laid a wreath at the memorial in Rainville, I met a comrade from my old regiment whom I've not seen since June 1944. Although the mayor can't find any spare money to fight the spiralling deaths from knife crimes in the capital, currently standing at 61 fatalities, plans have been announced that despite objections from residents and local businesses, work on the new Cycleway 4 from Tower Bridge to Greenwich will begin next month. Mayor of London Sadiq Khan has announced that Central London Boroughs will be hosting a car-free day on Sunday, the 22nd of September. Taxi drivers will be asking their respective representative groups to challenge this announcement, as we believe the Mayor, TfL and local councils don't have the right to force the trade to stop working for the day. On Wednesday, drivers supporting the ITA campaign Where Buses Go, Taxis Go gathered again in Parliament Square and Whitehall. While drivers brought most of Westminster to a complete gridlock, members from the London Taxi PR group spoke inside the Commons to a number of MPs and disability lobby groups. We've also heard that from next Wednesday, the campaign is to be joined by disabilities activist Samantha Renke. And finally, an exclusive. News just in that London Taxi PR member Andy Scott has contacted the Mayor's office with concerns over car-free day in London in September. They've responded and have put Andy in contact with TfL Steering Committee Group. More news on this subject next time from Taxi League's news desk.
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
Mick Smith.
Oh?
I've never heard of it.
Our regular listeners will, of course, know how to set up and adjust their receivers, but before we hear some music, a few directions for anyone who may be listening to stereophonic broadcasting for the first time.
And to do so, I'm now moving from your right to a central position.
Thank you very much to Mr. Jim Thomas for the headlines there from Taxi Leaks. He'll be back again on our next episode of the Mick the Brit podcast. I should explain that as well as being a taxi driver, I like radio. And, yeah, anything to do with that. So we'll be finding some quirky stuff on radio as we go along. So there's been plenty happening politically as well. There was a demo protest in Parliament Square on Wednesday, which I attended. Glad to see that the square and the environs were, yeah, well occupied. But wouldn't it be great if instead of, well, if we had thousands of cabs there in the area? I'm just saying. Things would get done a lot quicker, but of course Brexit has put paid to that, and of course the Conservative leadership contest as well. It's all consuming. But we have got noticed, and we should continue. And let me just say this, if you're a taxi driver listening to this and you haven't been to a protest yet in Parliament Square, it's every Wednesday between 1 and 4. And whilst talking about the protests, the ongoing protests that are going on in Parliament Square between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. every Wednesday, it's your duty to try to get somebody, a stranger, not a friend, or somebody you know, but somebody that you don't know, try to engage in conversation with them, even if it's at the lights, and explain that things are happening. Look at Tottenham Court Road. They were going to introduce the time limit in which taxis could go into Tottenham Court Road. That was supposed to happen this year. It's now been delayed a year. Also, Parliament Square has actually been chosen because of the impact that it has. It means that politicians, whether it be a MP or a Lord, have been blissfully unaware in that bubble we call the Houses of Parliament of what's actually been going on. It's only when they've noticed us there week in, week out, they've actually wondered what's been going on. And then when we've told them, they're like, yeah, that's not right. We agree with you. And so we are getting traction now with our lobbying, which needs to be done. It's pointless taking the fight elsewhere, because there'll be excuses and reasons why people won't turn up. And so this is the best way to do it. It also has a massive impact on Transport for London when their bus routes are thrown out of kilter and they have to park up buses elsewhere. I know when you're there in Parliament Square, it just seems a bit surreal. It seems like a bit of a party atmosphere. But underline, things are going on.
The Mick the Brit podcast.
All righty, here's the deal. The British are looking for a replacement for Theresa May, as you know, as Prime Minister. And what's unusual about it is that there are two people left in the race now. Jeremy Hunt and Boris Johnson. Boris expected to come out on top. And what did they do? Go try to find a guy that had the hair most like Donald Trump? I mean, this guy's got this wild yellow hair, too. Whatever. We're going live to London, England. Now, Mick the Brit on the line to discuss the new Prime Minister, Brexit, all of it. Haven't checked in with Mick in some time. Mick, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Steve, and thanks for having me along there with yourselves there.
Always a pleasure. So, we've got it down to Jeremy Hunt, Boris Johnson. They're the two finalists in the battle to be the head of the Tory political party. It's done a little differently in the UK than it is in the United States, but where are we in this competition? What happens next? Who's going to be the next Prime Minister?
Well, yes, I think Boris Johnson will be in as Prime Minister. I'm sincerely hoping we would have left the EU by the 31st of October. However, with all the shenanigans that go on in politics, things can change very rapidly.
Yeah, they certainly do change rapidly. Shenanigans. A good word. Mick, I greatly appreciate you being here on a Friday time. You're excused for the day. Go have a pint, my friend. Greatly appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great day as well.
There you have it. 41 after Mick the Brit there, live from London.
Yeah, that was my appearance on the Steve Gruber Show. I think Friday, day after the Tories sorted out the last two candidates for who's going to be the Prime Minister, effectively. So there I was with Steve Gruber on the Steve Gruber Show. That was actually edited highlights there. And actually, my interview went on for about 8 minutes, although there it sounds like the shortest interview in the world. Boom, 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 boom. My heart beats boom, 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 boom. My speed goes boom, 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 boom. My feet go boom, 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 boom. My feet go boom, boom, boom. Yeah, it's a bit repetitive, this, isn't it? And what has now happened is this is going to become an earworm. In other words, you won't be able to get this out of your head after listening to it. It'll probably go round and around in your head for the next day or two, thanks to the Mick the Brit podcast. Boom, boom, boom. My feet go boom, 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 boom. My heart beats boom, 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 boom. That song there, Boom, by ex-ambassadors, was featured in an advert on TV for I don't know what. But then I got thinking, you see a lot of adverts for perfume and aftershave on TV, mainly perfume though. But when you think about it, they're advertising something you can't actually smell. A bit like food, really. They're advertising stuff that you can't actually taste. So they're using imagery in order to sell the product. And if you've seen some of those perfume adverts, I mean, do women actually think, yeah, I'll splash that on and put that bit of that on behind my ears and that's what's going to happen to me? And that's what got me thinking, because if they tried to do that on radio, I don't think they'd be allowed to, because they might be accused of trying to sell a lifestyle, or suggest that by using this product you can attain this sort of lifestyle. In other words, it kind of works with visual, it's sort of subtle suggestion, but with radio, if you was to recreate what they're trying to say on the TV using images but convert that to sound, well, I don't think they'd be allowed to get away with it. Or if they just repeated the adverts on the radio for the TV thing, you just hear a load of thumping music or sultry music, and then with the product name at the end, Visage for Men. Or Eau de Toilette by Givenchy. You get what I'm saying. All right, let's do 20, 30, and 40. So this was number one 20 years ago. It's S Club 7 and Bring It All Back.
Hold on to what you try to be, your individuality. When the world is on your shoulders, just smile and let it you down. Just walk on by, don't turn around. You only have to answer to yourself. Don't you know it's true what I say? This love, it ain't easy, but your time's coming around. So don't you stop trying. Don't stop, never give up. Hold your head high and reach the top. Let the world see what you have got. Bring it all back to you. Dream of falling.
All right, yeah, all right. I think you get the picture. It's Club 7, Bring It All Back, number one, this week, 1999. And in 1989, it was Jason Donovan and Sealed With a Kiss.
Though we've got to say goodbye for the summer, darling, I promise you this.
Wait a minute, it's just started. The beginning of summer, June the 21st, or thereabouts.
Yes, it's gonna be a cold, lonely summer, but I'll fill the emptiness. I'll send you all my dreams, every day in a letter, sealed with a kiss. I'll see you in the
sunlight. Yeah, I think we get the picture there, Jason. Yeah, I think, was it the Everly Brothers that did it originally? But that was Jason Donovan, number one song from 30 years ago this week. And number one 40 years ago was this. A one-hit wonder for Anita Ward with Ring My Bell. Anita Ward, Ring My Bell, number one this week, 40 years ago.
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
I've got another little story you might like. You know, I told you the story about the busker in the underground, but singing the Bob Marley song. I was walking past him and he was singing No Woman No Cry, and I joined in, and he grabbed hold of me and said, no, come on, we're going to start from the beginning. And we sang it all the way through. Well, I told all the others, and I don't think they believed me, you know, because there was no one there. It was only me and him down the subway. And last week I was talking to a copper on the portico outside the station, and all of a sudden I felt a hand on the shoulder, and I turned around, it was that Rastafarian. And in front of all the others he went, "Hello, it's my lead singer, how you doing, man? Me and you make a good double team." So they all know it was Pucker now, it actually happened.
Well, you had no doubts, Jim. Absolutely no doubts about that. Jim Marley here. Well, let me start calling you that, Jim. And it will be interesting to see if Jim starts sporting a Bob Marley hairstyle. Well, I'm glad to see you got over your nerves, Jim, and started singing to this one. Enjoy.
No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry. Said, I remember when we used to sit in the government yard in the trench town. Over, over, so many hypocrites. As they would mingle with the good people we made.
Well done, Jim. Thank you very much. And thank you for your contribution as well. Hope your new home here on the Mick the Brit podcast for the Anderson Shelter headlines works out all right. Next week, we'll probably bring you another podcast, as on Tuesday, I'm heading down to Southend with a bunch of kids in the back of the cab for the London Taxi Fund for Children. And yeah, I'm going to take my digital recorder there, see what we can get, see if we can get anything interesting, bring you some edited highlights, and see how that goes as well. All right, thank you very much for being there. Thank you very much for downloading this again, really appreciate that. Don't be a stranger. And don't forget, check out londontaxiradio.co.uk. If you want to get in touch with us here, it's at Mick the Brit on Twitter.
Mick the Brit there, live from London.
Good night and good luck to you all.